steps out, and away we go.
Scott and Rick.
I don't really have a lot to comment on that.
Danny and Sunday have crashed. They've got into each other.
I wasn't listening. No idea what you're speaking about.
This is the F1 Podcast. Two Soft Compounds.
Hello and welcome to the latest Two Soft Compounds podcast. My name is Scott Hughes.
I'm Rick Horton.
We will be hearing later on from our stats man, Nikki, from @LightsOut on Twitter. And this is the preview of the Canadian Grand Prix. Now, we were trying to think of a name for this podcast. We were struggling a little bit. And obviously, Ferrari needs to do well here. So I was thinking of something like Canada Ferrari Do It.
Didn't we have some thoughts based around maple syrup or the maple leaf?
Maple, they can do it.
Maple, they can do it. And then we need to introduce a moose somewhere along the line as well.
That's just the Williams car, isn't it? That's a moose.
That's exactly right. You're quite right. It's how silly of me to forget. Yeah, it is the preview to Canada. Also, we are celebrating, Scott. I don't know if you know this yet. We are celebrating over 1,000 listeners.
Are we?
Yes.
Wow.
We started a podcast back in March for the season preview, and since then, over 1,000 people have been listening, which is great. You're one of them, so thank you very much.
So obviously, the Canadian Grand Prix, very nice circuit. Lots of the drivers love the Canada Grand Prix. There's been lots of exciting races over the years. We had, of course, the Jensen Button race, the longest race ever, wasn't it? What was it, 5 hours?
5.5 hours or something like that?
Do you know, this was a year. I think I was travelling in that year, so I missed the whole Grand Prix because I was in Fiji or somewhere. Couldn't even get signal on my phone, let alone find a TV channel showing the Grand Prix. But I missed that race, and I remember coming back thinking, 5.5 hours with the build-up and stuff. It was like a 12-hour extravaganza, wasn't it?
I'd arranged to meet a friend that day in Manchester. So I'd been out for a drink in Liverpool thinking I'll watch the Formula One, then I'll get across to Manchester. Had a few drinks whilst the race has started, and obviously it's become rain delayed and everything else. So I had a pub crawl in Liverpool, travelled from Liverpool to Manchester, a pub crawl in Manchester with my friend, and the race hadn't finished. It was amazing. But yeah, Canada always produces, well, not always. We have had processional races here, but Canada normally produces some kind of drama. And one of the reasons for this is Mercedes have often not performed as well as they should here, and Ferrari have. It's also a fairly strong track for Red Bull. We saw Mercedes, especially when Nico Rosberg was driving for them, have some MGUK issues in the last couple of years, problems with the power unit. For some reason, they just don't seem to like the Canadian track. So it can produce some upsets. And also, I'm hearing that there may be rain this weekend, and if that's the case, then it's anybody's race, really, isn't it?
Yeah, we haven't really had a rain-filled weekend yet, have we? And that's always, you know, because there was talk of years ago, Bernie wanted to put sprinklers in, didn't he, to kind of add artificial rain to the Grand Prix to make them more exciting. And of course, the Wall of Champions is always a bit of a, you know, that's a bit of a curveball, isn't it? Where we've obviously had a lot of champions go into it, hence why it's called the Wall of Champions. But there's generally, like you say, if there's not rain, there's a safety car, there's an incident, and that usually spices the race up a little bit.
It does. Like you mentioned at the top of the show, Ferrari have got loads to do. Really, if they don't have a good weekend this weekend, you can write their season off in terms of fighting for the world championship, I think. I'm just amazed by the coolness of Binotto, the Ferrari team principal. I mean, I know traditionally Italians are very cool. Ciao. You know, they're very cool. They ride around on mopeds shouting, ciao. When he was asked midweek about Ferrari's issues, he simply came out with, yes, we're not fast enough. Oh, and we have no improvements coming soon. I mean, if this was football and you came out with a quote like that, you'd be sent home packing. You'd be sacked. But this guy's just Mr. Cool. So they say no upgrades are forthcoming, certainly not for Canada. So they're just going to have to race this weekend with what they have. And let's hope that they can be stronger here as a package than they have been so far this season.
I've also heard a rumour that Mercedes have an engine upgrade that's coming to this Grand Prix, which takes them up to 1,050 horsepower, which is a lot more than they've got at the moment. And they reckon the reliability will be unaffected, which is very worrying.
Yeah, and there's no need for that, really, is there? I mean, win the championship first and bring out your big engine upgrade for Abu Dhabi. You know, it's just showing off now, isn't it?
Imagine them walking out in the pit lane again. Hey, guys, come here. Have you seen our engine? Have a look at this. Have a look, just waving it around in the air.
Yeah.
Follow Two Soft Compounds on Twitter and Facebook. search for Two Soft Compounds.
So lots of people moaning again that Formula One is very processional and very boring and very samey every weekend. We've got a Mercedes 1-2 at most weekends. Mercedes are winning most races. Mercedes is by far the best car this year. We have had these situations before with the Ferraris, where you had Michael Schumacher, you know, 4 or 5 years in a row winning his titles. We've had it with the Red Bulls, where, you know, Vettel won his 4 titles in a row with the Red Bull. So we've had this before, but some things do need to change. I know you were watching some IndyCar over the weekend.
Yeah, IndyCar's really entertaining this year, and I don't know whether it's more entertaining because Formula One is a bit duller, or whether they've just livened the show up a little bit. I'm not sure. So far in IndyCar this year, they've had a couple of wet races, which always makes it fascinating. If there's wet running on ovals, they don't run at all, but they do on the normal race circuits. So they had the duel in Detroit this weekend just gone, and this is an idea I think Formula One could easily adapt without too much bother. The duel in Detroit means that they practice all day Friday, qualify Saturday morning and have a full race on Saturday afternoon. And on Sunday morning, they qualify again and have a full race on Sunday afternoon. So 2 races in the weekend, which all count towards the point scoring system of the championship. Formula One could do that quite easily, and it would be good for the promoters, who are always moaning that it costs them too much to stage the races. They might actually be able to lower the tickets. It would be good for the fans, because they'd then have the choice of 2 days to go and watch the race, or both if they preferred. And it would be good for the teams, I think, because they can, on the second day, put wrong any mistakes they've learned from the first. You mentioned that you were talking about when you race in the MR2 Championship. How cool would it be if they had Saturday morning qualifying, a Saturday full race, and then the grid for Sunday was decided by the fastest lap times, which is what happens in the MR2 Championship, from the Saturday race? That means you could get a lower team going out on fresh tyres the last couple of laps just to set the fastest lap to guarantee pole position the next day. And then the second race is, how exciting is that going to be if you've got Hamilton starting in sixth and, you know, Kvyat in pole position? It would be great.
I mean, even if you had a sprint race on the Saturday, so you qualified, then had a shorter race, you know, a 20-lap race or something on the Saturday, and then the full race on the Sunday, but then, like you say, using that as the fastest lap times, it would spice everything up. You could have points, you know, for the sprint race and different points for the full race. You know, I've mentioned before the British touring cars as well, when they do that thing where someone will select a number, so maybe they'll have like 1 to 11, somebody puts their hand in a bowl, pulls out number 7, and they flip the top 7. So if you qualify in pole, you're now starting in 7th. If you qualify in 7th, you're now on pole, and that spices things up. And you know, the British touring cars have ballast, you know, if you're doing well you get ballast in the car. You know, maybe it needs something like that. Maybe it needs, if you know, Hamilton is winning every race, you get penalized with every win with a bit of ballast, so you have to carry some more weight in the car to slow you down a little bit. You know, these are all things that would really spice it up. The drivers and the teams will hate this. We're at the point where the technology and the brilliance of the cars and what they can do with these cars is so good now, we need ways to slow them down. You know, so they can still technically develop the cars as they are, but if we add weight to the car, for example, that is going to naturally slow it down and naturally give them a disadvantage for being so good, which sounds crazy because, you know, you wouldn't say to Usain Bolt, we're going to tie a brick to you because you're much faster than the others, so we're going to put a brick and see how you get on, mate. You wouldn't do that, but it kind of needs something like that to spice it up, doesn't it?
I sense that trouble is brewing. That we were told that the 2021 regulations were pretty close to being sorted out, but I was also under the impression that Ferrari, under the new Liberty Media deal, were going to lose their veto. So for many years, when Bernie had control, Ferrari had a veto. They could basically stick their hand up and say, no, we're not approving that regulation change, and that would be that. We were told, or led to believe, that under Liberty Media, they would not have that veto. It now appears that they still do. So when the rule changes come in for 2021, they can at any point go, oh, hello, Ferrari here in the corner, we say no. And
why are they French all of a sudden?
Did I? I don't know.
We say no.
What is Italian for no?
No.
No. We say nada. No, that's Russian. That's, I don't
Spanish,
know.
Isn't it? Nada.
And they turn to me and they say, Rick, you need to go on a multilingual European course.
I tell you what, I've just had a great idea how they can spice it up. Each country could have a unique thing to them to spice the track up. So, for example, in Canada, they could just coat the racetrack with maple syrup.
There you go.
There you go. They go, we've got lots of maple syrup down. It's nice and local, and good luck. Imagine driving a Formula One car on syrup.
And when it came to the British Grand Prix, we could just line up various politicians on the circuit and we'd be hit and killed to death.
Two Soft Compounds.
Well, you know, we did a bit of a survey with some of our podcast listeners, and it came back that they really like the section where Nicky from Lights Out comes on and gives us the stats and facts either before or after the races. Now, Nicky was off last week, but I'm glad to say he is back, and here he is with his look at the Canadian Grand Prix.
This weekend marks the 40th time that Formula One has visited the circuit Gilles Villeneuve for the Canadian Grand Prix. The 2019 running of the race will see the circuit equal the Nürburgring in the list of racetracks to have held the most F1 Grand Prix. Over its 40 race history, there have been 23 different winners, 20 different pole sitters, and 49 different drivers finishing on the podium at the Montreal track. The circuit has had a tendency to give debut wins to drivers such as local hero Gilles Villeneuve in the first F1 race at the track in 1978, Jean Alesi in 1995, Lewis Hamilton in 2007, Robert Kubica in 2008, and most recently Daniel Ricciardo in 2014. There have been some other firsts here too, such as the 1999 race, which was the first Grand Prix to finish behind the safety car. It also happened to be the only race in which Eddie Irvine set the fastest lap of a Grand Prix during his career. German drivers have had more podium finishes in Montreal than any other nationality, yet, strangely, of their 23 top three appearances at the track, only one has been in third place. Sebastian Vettel recorded the only third place finish for a German driver at the circuit in 2014. After a fallow start to the season for Ferrari, Vettel will be hoping for a second consecutive win at the track this weekend, having taken Ferrari's first victory here since 2004 last year. Impressively, Vettel has never failed to score at the Canadian Grand Prix in all of his 10 appearances so far at the event. Kimi Raikkonen would have an even more impressive record if Lewis Hamilton hadn't clattered into the back of him at the end of the pit lane in 2008. That's the only time from his 15 appearances that the Finn hasn't scored here. Before Vettel, Michael Schumacher was the most recent Ferrari winner in Canada. Schumacher remains the most successful driver in Montreal, with 7 wins and 12 podium finishes. His tally of wins at the track could be equaled this weekend by Lewis Hamilton, whose 3-year streak of Montreal victories came to an end in 2018. From the 39 races at the track, the pole sitter has won 19 times. Only one of the last 6 races here hasn't been won from pole position. Last year marked only the second time that the top three finished in the order in which they started at the Canadian Grand Prix. The only other time it has happened was way back in 1979. Conversely, there have been 4 races at this track where none of the top three on the grid have gone on to finish on the podium, but it hasn't happened since 1995. Look out for a close battle for pole position on Saturday. Pole has been decided by less than a tenth of a second on 16 occasions at the track. Max Verstappen's presence on the grid this weekend will make this the 350th F1 race to feature a Dutch driver. Max is now the most experienced Dutch driver in terms of laps completed in his career, having overtaken his father's tally last time out in Monaco. Verstappen is one of only 2 Red Bull drivers to have retired from the Canadian Grand Prix. He retired with mechanical troubles in 2017, just as David Coulthard did 10 years previously. Aside from Verstappen's non-finish, Daniel Ricciardo's 13th place finish in 2015 is the only other time that a Red Bull driver has failed to score at the track in the last 9 seasons.
Two soft compounds.
So the Canadian Grand Prix this weekend, this is one of my favourite parts of the season as well. We're getting very near to going into the summer break and all the silly season starts and all the ridiculous rumours. We both work in radio, obviously, and it's a little bit like that in radio where you get these crazy rumours. But I love how these Formula One rumours just come out of nowhere. Best one I heard this week so far was Alonso is considering returning out of retirement back into Formula One. And if that is the case, he wants to go to Ferrari and replace Vettel, who apparently might be retiring at the end of this season.
Vettel's not going to retire till these big rule changes of 2020. And he said himself this week that he's really still quite hungry and wants to do well with Ferrari. Alonso's got too much McLaren baggage to go back to Ferrari, yeah. Surely. I mean, it's like McLaren probably own his house and, you know, his dogs and things.
I think from the deals he did with them, I think he owns all their houses.
That's true, actually.
You're right, he's very tied into McLaren. I think any fast driver is always linked to a fast team. It's just that, you know, I think it's a more of a wish list, isn't it, that people are thinking, oh, imagine this person in this car, imagine this in this. There's been some other ones, haven't there?
The silly season is happening quite early this year, really, but that's why they call it a silly season, because there are some bizarre suggestions going on. So they're talking about Verstappen maybe going to Mercedes, and we heard the rumour a few weeks ago that Mercedes had been phoning him on a regular basis, which was all denied. He might go to Mercedes to replace either Bottas or Hamilton, because Hamilton may go to Ferrari. We're hearing that rumour as well. Then you've got the rumour that Hülkenberg has been lined up to replace Gasly in the Red Bull. Mm-hmm. be nice to see Hülkenberg in a top car because I think he's got a lot to give. Are they going to be that cruel and that quick with Gasly? I mean, they have done it before when they've dropped their drivers into the junior team, but I thought he had a pretty decent outing in Monaco. So, you know, that's why they call it silly season.
I've had a long-term theory as well with Lewis Hamilton where I believe he's going to stay with Mercedes until at least 2021 till the rule change. I think he's going to win the title this year. I think he could win the title next year as well, which will equal him with Schumacher as the greatest ever in terms of title wins. And then I think he might go to Ferrari to finish his career and do maybe 4 or 5 years at Ferrari. It's take him up to his late 30s. And I think he'll do that because if he equals Schumacher, he's equaled it, whatever. Then he's got, if he goes to Ferrari and wins a one world title with Ferrari, he's won then titles with three teams, McLaren, Mercedes and Ferrari. He's won more world championships than anybody else and will pretty much put him in the top three, whatever happens. You know, you've got to mention his name as the greatest of all time. And it's a hell of a career, isn't it? McLaren, Mercedes, Ferrari. If you can win a world title at all those teams and eight in total, that's just incredible, isn't it?
Check out twosoftcompounds.com for the latest news, competitions and updates.
So it is the Canadian Grand Prix this weekend at the Gilles Villeneuve circuit, which has thrown up some surprises in the past. As we mentioned before, this is a track the Ferrari need to do well on, because really, if they don't this weekend, you could almost guarantee that they're not going to be at the top of the pile come the end of the season. Mercedes very strong, they've got the engine upgrade, but Mercedes have not always performed to their best at the Canadian circuit for some reason. Normally a good track for Ferrari and pretty good for Red Bull as well. Dramas would be nice. This is the race where they all crashed at the end of the pit lane, if you remember. Do you remember that? Mm. When they all went into each other at the end of the pit lane. We are used to seeing safety cars here. A bit of rain would be fantastic. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to the race. It's a great track because it's got long straights. It's got some very tight corners, the hairpin at the end of the circuit, which makes for some good overtaking opportunities. And then you've got the walls that are close, just like a street circuit, and open areas of the circuit with runoff. And it's a great track. Something amused me from Zach Brown this week. Zach Brown, who's clearly living in the wibbly-wobbly world of Zach Brown, who said he's starting to see Mercedes-like qualities in this year's McLaren. It's like, what? That it's got four wheels? Brilliant. But McLaren have done, I think, fairly well, certainly compared to the last 2 years. They're in a much better position now, as we've both said over the last few weeks. And hopefully they can continue to show improvement.
Yeah, it's going to be a good race for, I'd like to see the likes of, you know, Carlos Sainz and, you know, people like Verstappen. And there's some interesting midfield battles, I think, going to be happening in Canada. I think we've got to assume that the Mercedes are always going to be up there. Ferrari, like you say, they need to pull their finger out. And, you know, it'd be good to see the Red Bulls in the mix. And, you know, again, it's a pretty power circuit, isn't it? So the Red Bulls could do okay here. McLarens could do okay here. I think it's going to be a very interesting midfield race as well, this.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I think Haas is going to have a pretty strong weekend. They were showing some good signs in Monaco. Kevin Magnussen is the driver. If you take away the top three teams, he's the driver that's doing the best in terms of points for the rest of the teams. And I think he's been strong so far this season. And it looks as though Haas are starting to understand how they set their car up with the tyres a little bit better. They've suffered from the same problem that Ferrari have when it comes to turning the tyres on at the right time.
Right then, so with regards to drivers, I think you just can't bet against Hamilton at the moment. I think Hamilton's going to get pole personally. For me, Bottas second, and I'm going to say Charles Leclerc third. But I think the race is going to be a bit different. I can see some action happening in the race. And I'm going to say Verstappen third, Leclerc second, Hamilton first in the race.
Ooh. I think it's going to be a strong weekend for Leclerc again. He had the strong weekend in Bahrain, very similar characteristics to this circuit. And I think he might do quite well. So I'm going to go for Hamilton pole, Leclerc second, Bottas third. And I think this could be the race this season where Leclerc wins his first Formula One Grand Prix.
Well, we'll be back next week to have a little look at the Canadian Grand Prix and give our thoughts on what exactly goes down. Don't forget to check us out, twosoftcompounds.com. Tell your mates about it, retweet us, comment, rate us and subscribe and get involved, twosoftcompounds.com. We'll see you next weekend.
Follow Two Soft Compounds on Twitter and Facebook. Search for Two Soft Compounds. Two Soft Compounds is a talk about media production. All opinions are our own.